I want to welcome you to the latest edition of the Aftershock Central podcast. Have you heard of it? We talk about Aftershock comics, news, reviews, all kinds of stuff. Interviews. Man, I missed the rhyme. My bad, guys. I missed the rhyme.
Damn.
I have failed this podcast.
You have. That's okay.
I'm jumping in to support you. You're doing great, dude. That rhyme, that was like... Yeah, you must have rehearsed that, right?
Look, it's my first time hosting a podcast. I've never done this podcast thing before, so I'm trying to get the hang of it. You know what I mean? I figure maybe one day I'll do okay.
One day you'll be a baller.
Like you.
Shot caller.
Wanna be baller?
Yeah,
anyways, hello, gentlemen. We're here to talk Aftershock. Breaking news from yesterday. We have a new book coming out.
We have two new books coming out.
Oh,
since
snap.
Since we recorded, and then like 2 hours later, boom, there it is.
Wait, no. Yeah. We need to clarify this. We recorded, and literally the second that we hung up the call, I saw the press release.
Yeah.
Like literally that second. So, Ronnie, you want to tell us about these books that are coming out?
The first one is by Elliot Rahal, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it is a hot lunch special. Is that what it is?
The hot lunch special. Dude, I cannot believe they named the comic Hot Lunch Special.
Well, yeah.
That's delicious.
That's like getting your wrestling finishing maneuver named Five Knuckle Shuffle.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome. Yeah, Hot Lunch Special. It's a family that owns a... sandwich restaurants, I guess a chain of restaurants, and they get into trouble with the Irish mob.
So, Subway, not Subway?
Subway, not Subway. Subway with thumbs cut off.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think it's going to be awesome, dude. I'm excited for that. It's, I think it's a genre that Aftershock hasn't done yet, so could be interesting to see.
Yeah. I'm used to Elliot Rahal being kind of more on the comedy end of stuff, right? You know, I don't know if that's fair to say, like... You know, he co-wrote Paybacks with Donny Cates.
Yep.
And that was a pretty funny book. Like, I guess his Valiant stuff has been, you know, maybe like more on the serious end, but he's coming up on Quantum and Woody. So, like,
oh, yeah.
I'm curious if it's going to be like dark comedy or whether it's going to be just straight dark.
Well, he's got a new Vault book that came out, Cult Classic. I don't know if you picked that up. Ronnie, I think you read that, right?
Yep, I sure did.
I really enjoyed that book, and it's not a comedy at all. It's pretty serious and partially depressing, but it was very interesting.
All the good stuff we like in comics.
Yeah, it's like if the Goonies grew up and they got back together, what would happen? And they're all like really messed up individuals.
Yeah.
It was really good. You should check that out. Cult Classic.
That sounds good, dude.
Yeah, Cult
Classic. That should have been the elevator pitch for it.
That should have been. You're right. I think you can get it for free on the Vault website. Are they still doing that? The free first?
I haven't checked for a while, but that could be a thing.
Yeah, because Diamond messed up distributing the book, and so Vault put out the first issue for free because Diamond pushed it back a week.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's still on there. Return to Whisper, Cult Classic, number one. So you can go to vaultcomics.com/free-firsts and read that. Not that we're shilling Vault, but we're shilling Vault because Vault's awesome.
We're shilling Elliot, actually.
We're shilling Elliot, you're right. I'm shilling Vault. I'm a traitor to this podcast. The Vault Central podcast.
Whoa, careful. That could be a thing in a couple of weeks.
It might
be. Yeah, no, there's a Dynamite Central, right?
That's right, we're expanding the brand. Dynamite Central finally started.
Yep.
We've been working on that for months. And the other book that was just announced, I think, yesterday... it's yesterday. Volition number one. It's Ryan Parrott and Omar Francia, and it's I guess if robot kind decided to rise up against humanity's enslavement of them. The cover looks awesome.
Yeah,
and they had a few preview images that came out. It looks pretty good as well.
It's like a buddy robot comedy, right? Like if two retired robots or obsolete robots team up, right?
Yeah, it's Hale 19 and Amber 70.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks good though. And I've never read anything by Ryan that I can remember. I looked him up. It said he worked on Gates of Gotham, and I've read all of that, so I'm assuming I've read his work. But he also did Star Trek stuff. He worked on the Power Rangers comic. So that's pretty diverse.
Yeah.
And then Omar worked on Star Wars and the Mass Effect comic, which I did read the Mass Effect comic, and that was really good. So I look forward to checking that out.
Awesome. So phase two of Aftershock is underway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it's, you know, phase two Young Guns.
Phase two Young Guns. Yeah, I like that, dude. I know we talked about that with Mike when he was on.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that Aftershock is shifting a little bit.
Agreed.
And it's not like these guys aren't known, right? But they're not huge names like a Garth Ennis or Warren Ellis would be.
Right, right. And there's one more.
I other... have a balance.
There's one more other thing, too.
There is.
Speaking of big name guys like that.
I'm very excited. Wait, are we thinking about the same thing?
Probably, because you tweeted about it, too.
Okay, good. Yeah. Phil Hester just posted that he just wrapped up issue 6 of Shipwreck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, that's really exciting, dude. Because I keep recommending that book to people, but I'm like, they're working on the last issue. Maybe you want to hang off for a second so you can get the full story.
Right.
So I don't know when that's going to be. I think solicitations are coming out this week. So they might be announcing it for July, would be my assumption.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But how would the volume 2 of that trade come out then? Would it be like artist edition with issue 6?
Did they actually release that trade?
I thought I saw where it was out. I mean, I hadn't picked it up yet.
It was solicited, but I don't know if it was actually released.
Okay. Well, that's better then.
Because the book was supposed to have finished already.
Okay. Makes sense.
So I'm not sure if... I don't think they would release a trade with just 5 issues with one left in the story. But yeah. I could be wrong.
That'd be Doomsday Clock-ish.
poor Doomsday Clock. It is doomed.
Yeah. That's great to hear about Shipwreck, though, because seriously, that's one of my favorites. And I mean, I couldn't really recommend it, like, if there was a question hovering about whether it was actually ever going to finish.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's going to finish, you know, and they can collect it. That's just, like, a huge win.
Yep, I agree.
Yep. Now, next on deck is to get Blood Blister going again.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that, dude.
Well, I know, but, you know.
Yeah, it would be nice.
What dreams may come.
If I'm sure if Phil had the time, he would just do it all himself.
Probably, yeah.
And I wouldn't mind that, dude. Phil, man, let me tell you, Phil's art over the years has gotten better and better. And it's crazy because he's been in comics for like 30 years, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever done the quality of work that he's doing right now. Like, he's always been great, don't get me wrong. But the stuff he's putting out now is just fantastic.
He's like a fine wine.
He is. Put that on a t-shirt.
There you go.
All right. We have some books that we need to talk about.
Yes.
We have 3 books that came out this past week. The first one up, let me pull up my list. I mean, I know what the books are. I just don't know what the issue numbers are. Jimmy's Bastards number 8, Cold War number 4, and A Walk Through Hell number 1. And I kind of want to go in that order if you guys don't mind.
That's fine, sure.
All right. So, Jimmy's Bastards number 8. This is the second to last issue. It's written by Garth Ennis with art by Russ Brown and colors by John Calise and letters by Rob Steen. Guys, I never know what to think about this book, let me tell you. But I'm always so glad when I finish reading it.
Yeah. It's like, for me, and I know we've said it like 100 times, but for me, it's like getting like 2 or 3 episodes behind of Archer, and then you finally sit down and watch it, and then you're so glad that you did.
Yeah. Yeah, this book's a lot like Archer. If Archer were like 20 years older, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Yep, totally agree.
Yeah, and obsessed with incest.
He's not obsessed with incest. His crazy-ass son is.
No, the book is.
Oh, the book is. Yeah. But I mean, that's something I kind of expect out of Garth Ennis, though.
Yeah, like just to, like based off that though, do you guys think that on some level, maybe like pretty overtly, Jimmy Jr. like just wants to bang Jimmy Sr. Like, is that what's motivating like this whole plan that he's developed?
Huh. I hadn't thought about that, but now that you say it,
yeah,
maybe it makes a little sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or so, it's super jealousy.
Yeah. I mean, clearly he's jealous and he identifies and he's like, you and me, we're the same. We're both like these kind of like MFers, dude, you know? But like, you know, he's referenced like wanting to like wank off, like while he's seeing like Jimmy Sr.'s face as this is going down, he sends all his like half sisters off to go bang him. Like it's like wish fulfillment or like he's vicariously like, oh yeah, you know, like you go do this. And meanwhile, I'm just going to like go think about what you're doing.
Yeah. That's a little creepy when you put it that way. Yeah.
A little.
Well, yeah. I think it's been like a thing the entire series, but I think in particular with this issue, with all the revelations coming out and all the other siblings finding out that he's got bombs implanted in all of them. If they don't do what he wants, he's going to blow them up. Like it, I think it really hit the point in this particular issue. And for me, I thought it worked best in this issue because of the crazy state that Jimmy's in, right? Like he just got out of the loony bin pretty much because he found out he was banging all his kids.
Right.
And of course, like I'd be a little crazy too. You know what I'm saying?
Well, not just that, he also enjoyed it. So, you know, it's the combination of those two things.
Yeah, right. But I like the way that it's been set up. And there's just so many weird, quirky elements in here, too. Like the fact that he carries that little teddy bear on his backpack, because that's kind of his reminder that he's still human and not a total monster.
Right.
You know?
You mean the puppy?
Yeah, the puppy.
No, the puppy. That's right. It's a puppy.
That's like a living puppy, dude. It's kind of screwed up. He's doing that. It's like a puppy shield.
Well, yeah. He's guarding himself. He's totally broken right now. And it depends on how you read it is, I think, what you get out of this book in particular. Because, you know, there's some really effed up things going on. But at the same time, it's one of those things where you can't believe what you're reading.
Yeah, right. It's like so out there and crazy that there has to be more to it.
Yeah, and you can't help but laugh, right? Because it's so uncomfortable to read at times that you're just like, ha-ha, yeah, he banged 98 of his kids. All right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That was a thing. And of course, I think with this issue, we kind of learned that his partner is his kid, right? I don't think they explicitly say it, but isn't that hinted a few times towards the end of the issue?
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Well, he actually, I feel, spends most of the issue trying to talk to her about that.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's occurred to him. And she keeps cutting him off. And I wonder, reading between the lines, whether she kind of knows what he's like, where he's going. And she's like, you know what? That's all well and good. Like, maybe I already knew that. But what we need right now is old Jimmy. Like, we don't need, you know, talk about your feelings in your family, Jimmy, you know?
Yeah.
So like she kind of shuts him down a few times and now it's kind of like held up by Jimmy Jr. as the crux of his plan, as if, you know, that's another chip that's going to fall and she's going to turn on Jimmy or something. But I wonder if it's going to be a surprise to her.
Well, and I think we talked about that when the series first came out. We wondered if that was his kid.
Right.
Because it seemed like the reason she got close to him and joined the agency was to talk to Jimmy. But, you know, because of the events that have transpired over the past 8 issues, that's kind of been put by the wayside. And maybe it doesn't really matter anymore.
Right. Because she's made it, like, well known from the first time we saw her that he wasn't getting in her pants.
Right. Exactly.
So.
Exactly. What else do we want to say about this issue?
I'm good.
Just kind of a general thought, like, and it's kind of a rhetorical question, I guess. But I'm just curious, you know, in the context of this story, everybody signs up to Jimmy Jr.'s thing. He gives him a sales pitch or whatever. He's like, sure, I'll come on and do whatever you tell me to do at some future date. Somehow he manages to surgically implant a bomb in all of them without them asking any questions.
Yeah.
that's pretty, you know, impressive, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of goes to the insanity of the overall concept anyway. Because it seems like, I mean, obviously they didn't know that the bombs were there. So how did he implant them?
Right.
But, you know, based on the other ridiculousness that happens in this book, it kind of doesn't even matter. Like, it's just something that I took for granted.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's pretty obvious that if they had known that that was going to happen, they would not have joined this plan.
Or maybe they would. We don't know.
Well, you know what? You're right. Maybe they would, because he approached each of them individually, and
yeah,
they didn't have the bomb implanted, so obviously they were down for whatever the plan is.
Right.
That's the tragedy, is Jimmy Jr. is so magnetic, everybody just wants to follow him, but he's only fixated on this one thing.
Yep. Agreed. All right, so let's rate this one up. I will go first, and I'm going to give this one a 3.5 out of 5.
I will go, and I will give it a 3.5 out of 5 as well, actually.
Nice. Travis?
And I'll go 3.75 out of 5.
All right. So there's one issue left, and then we'll be done with this one. It's been interesting. I'm extremely surprised that he was given 9 issues to tell the story. But I don't even know if it could have been told fairly in less.
Yeah. And for some reason, I thought this was the finale. For some reason.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I mean, I tweeted it out earlier from the show notes or whatever, and I thought this was the finale, and then, but yeah.
They pulled a fast one on you.
Yep. I was you with Rough Riders.
All right, let's move on to Cold War number 4. This is written by Chris Sabella with art and letters by Hayden Sherman. And guys, the more I read this book, the more confused I get. But I think we can talk this through. We got some revelations in this issue, right?
Yeah.
I didn't miss that. So. Okay, good.
There's always revelations in Cold War.
There are always revelations. You're right. I enjoyed the way that the flashback scenes were intertwined with this particular story. You know, we've had the flashbacks in issues 2 and 3. And I can't remember, was it the last one that I didn't really dig the flashback? Yeah, the third issue.
Yeah.
But I think it really worked with this one because the flashback scenes have direct impact on the plot of the book. So if I get this correct, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, they're actually in the future. This is not like The Matrix or anything. They're actually in the future, and this whole thing was set up by a cult?
Yeah, seems like it. Like the higher arc something. It's like a game kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's the part that confused me, because when they started talking about the game, I was like, okay, well, maybe this is just happening now, and it's like a virtual reality thing.
No, it's more like The Running Man.
Okay, right. Now that makes more sense.
I agree. It seems like a TV show or something, that there are spectators, in theory, out there somewhere. That kind of, I guess, speaks to what I really like about the series, which is that there is a lot of uncertainty, really, about what is real and what's really happening, you know? Because like what the cult is doing, you know, I don't know for sure that they've set all this up. They certainly like give their followers information that proves useful, kind of a guide to what to do when they get to the future. But the followers also make reference to that they're kind of like, this isn't what they told us it would be, you know? So there's, I think, a question about whether, however they got that information, whether it still applies, you know. Maybe there's other stuff. For instance, you know, borrowing from the other thread, like communist cells or something from the Soviet Union that are traveling also to the future that have kind of disrupted their plans. So we don't know that. We don't know also really what's happening outside this particular arena. Because I think they've also referenced maybe there is nobody watching,
right,
and it's just all machine that's on autopilot. And, you know, like, sure, there seemingly are human people that are guarding this facility. But, that I think is what I enjoy about it, I guess, is how many moving pieces there are about what's really happening and I think part of the satisfaction you're going to get is how well they tie all that up and answer those questions.
So there's only one issue left of this. Do you feel like we are going to get sufficient answers on what is actually happening? Because really, it's taken four issues to get someplace where we're getting answers.
Yeah. We'll get some of the answers answered, but I think we'll be left on a cliffhanger for the next volume.
Hmm. So the title of this issue is Five-Sided Puzzle. And as a result, I think this one out of the majority of Aftershock books, I would put Shipwreck in that level as well, is going to be one of those books where ultimately things will only make sense reading all five issues together. Because reading each issue piecemeal doesn't quite give me the satisfaction of, well, what have I gotten myself into?
Interesting. I can see that for you. Yeah. I mean, I can see that point of view.
Yeah.
Not like to pick on you. I can see that from you, but yeah, I can see how some people might get, because there, like Travis said, there is a lot going on. There's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah. It's, what's that movie? The Cube. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
This book reminds me a little bit of that because, you know, every time you move, they move into a new room, it's like a different set of circumstances, and right. A new puzzle to solve opens a different door. But you have to have knowledge of previous rooms in order to solve the next room. And that's kind of what this book is. And I like that because even though I'm very confused a lot of the times when I read this, I feel like the level of creativity required to weave a story as complex as this one is really on a very high level. And so for that reason, I enjoy it, even though I end up being confused. You know, I don't like just reading a book and getting the story straight out. I mean, I do sometimes. It's good to have just a fun book to read. But if you have everything just be a fun book to read, then nothing really means anything, you know?
Right.
And I think as a result, it makes this book feel a lot deeper.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like Jimmy's Bastards, for example, is just a fun read.
There you go.
As to where this one has a lot of moving parts and there's a lot of stuff happening all at once.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this one kind of makes you work for it, or has so far, you know, and that definitely appeals to some people. I think that's what I enjoy about it. And I think kind of from a structural standpoint, it kind of works for the story that they're telling, arguably, because all these people kind of are having the same experience. They're woken up in the future and they don't really get any information about what's going on. So yep. Our experience kind of mirrors theirs.
Right.
And you know, in a weird way, also, I feel like the memory helmets, the Memtech helmet.
Yep.
Like, I feel like that's been an interesting device throughout. And I wonder, from a plot standpoint, whether maybe they're actually broadcasting from those helmets, like out to whoever's watching, so that you maybe splice those together with shots of those people getting shot in the head or whatever. Like, that's part of the coverage.
Right.
But also I was interested what they kind of hint at here in this issue about, like, the couple selectively editing their memory. And so, like, that helmet can be a tool for that, you know, and that I think is an interesting concept as well. You know, it's really only teased pretty cursorily, but there's maybe a lot to explore there, you know, and maybe they've hinted at it previously in the series, kind of with like the helmet editing somebody's memories without their knowledge, you know?
Right. Yep.
Right.
So that's a device there somewhere that they're doing something.
Right. And where the couple has been reverse engineering things to work in their favor, like LQ at the end. Obviously, he fixed his helmet so it could record for him,
mm-hmm.
instead of playback.
Yep.
It's like putting the tape over the little holes in the cassette tape so that way you can record.
The 80s are the best.
Yeah, this is a VCR podcast. Sure.
My bad.
Yep. Good old times. There was a way to do that with VCR tapes too.
Yeah, same way.
Oh, was it the same way? Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
They were just bigger cassette tapes.
Yeah. Yep. Good times. Yeah, I dug it. I dug it, man. Again, I keep getting very confused. And the thing is too, like, with every issue you're seeing things from a different character's perspective. The granny? I guess her name's just Granny, right?
Vin.
There you go. We got a lot from her in the second issue and a little bit in the third, and she's almost non-existent in this one. You know, like she shows up in a couple important panels, but
well, that's because she can't really talk because she got her throat slashed by John in the last issue.
True. But I like the way that that's used as a story device, right? Like it's not that her throat got slit because whatever, Chris just wanted to slit somebody's throat. It goes hand in hand with the way that the story itself is told. And in that way, it makes this book a little bit meta in its storytelling. And I like that.
Yeah, I also like how kind of everybody that we've met so far from the group has this crazy backstory.
Yeah.
You know, that like that they're all dramatic revelations, like without exception so far.
Yep.
You know, I didn't think that this couple was even going to survive, let alone be such a driving force for this narrative, you know, like they're part and parcel with what's happening. So I guess that's part of it, you know. And also, I cannot believe for the second time in the series, we kind of have a moment where there's a character stepping out and being like, follow me. I got this solved, and then immediately gets killed.
Well, maybe that's one of the rules of the game. You know, if you have it solved, then you're done.
Yeah.
Because you don't have it solved because you haven't seen the whole story.
Right. You haven't made it to the end yet.
Yeah.
Just because you get the cheat code doesn't mean that you beat the game.
There you go. Cheaters never win. That's the moral of the story. Yeah, really good. Let's rate this one up. Ronnie, I'll let you go first on this
one. I'm giving it a solid 4 out of 5. I mean, Chris is nailing it for me with the complex storytelling.
Yep.
And then Hayden's art is second to none. So
I agree. I'm going to go with a 4 out of 5 on this one too. Dude, I don't even know where Hayden came out of, but like he's just rocking it. Not to plug Vault again, but he's doing Wasted Space over there, and holy Jesus, like that art is freaking gorgeous over there too. So yeah, well worth picking up. I can't wait for the next issue, so maybe I can put all the pieces together. But yeah, 4 out of 5 for me also. Travis, my man.
Yeah, I'm going to go 5 out of 5.
Wow.
I really love, you know, all the sci-fi series from Aftershock, you know. And this one, I stack up there with my favorites, like Shipwreck, as you say. I guess I really do hope that they tie stuff up in the next issue, or maybe that there's another volume coming that will continue the story. But you know, I'm really enjoying it. You know, just a final thought. I don't know if you guys noticed, like the Shamblebot at the end that runs through LQ.
Yep.
Yep.
To me, not only seemed to be gigantic, but also, like running at super speed, like the Flash and bashing through the energy thing.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious what's up with that. I don't know if that struck you guys.
Yeah, it did. And it looks like based on the cover for issue 5, maybe we're going to get that robot story. And I think that may be filling in a lot of pieces that we're missing from the group that we're following.
Well, that's also the first one of those that has been coherent.
That's true.
That we've actually understood what they were saying.
That is
instead
very true.
Of, you know, like Max Headroom style.
Yep.
Oh my God, there's more 80s reference for
Dude,
you.
Listen, Max Headroom was the greatest show of the 80s, okay? Do not feel ashamed, Ronnie.
Well, I didn't say I was ashamed.
That dude's awesome, man. He's still acting. He was the bad guy in Orphan Black.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Yep. That show's great, too. All right. Let's go on to what I already know will be the most controversial discussion of tonight's podcast, and that is A Walk Through Hell number one. This is another Garth Ennis book with art by Goran Suzuka, colors by Ive Sforcina, and what did I miss? Oh, letters by Rob Steen. All right. So, Ronnie.
Yep.
I'm going to let you kick off the conversation on this book because I know I feel like you maybe enjoyed it the least out of the
three. I enjoyed the heck out of this art.
Okay. The art is great.
Yep.
I'm glad you're starting with a positive. Let's get into the story.
Okay.
So you had some issues with the story. Tell me what the issue was.
Well, I did just for me, though.
Sure.
I mean, it's
no,
just
absolutely.
A personal preference. Like, I don't like comics that use like real presidents, like as a timestamp. So that way, like when you go back and reread it, then you know that it came out in the '80s or the '90s or wherever. This one, like it almost took me out of it. Like I had to push myself through it to get to it. And I can only say that with maybe two Aftershock books ever. And it was just the more reality, the real world discussion, politics left or right, that was talked about in it, because that's why I read comics, is for the escape.
Yep.
I mean, I get it. Like X-Men, for example, was like the civil rights movement type thing.
Yes.
I understand that, but it's masked, right? It's not bam right there in your face. So, like, with the tweets going on, like, all the junk tweets and stuff that happened at the beginning of this book, I was like, man, I can open up TweetDeck and see the real thing, you know? I don't want to see it in my comic books. So I had to push past that part. And then, of course, you know, their talk in the cafe mm-hmm. was pretty much the same thing. And like I said, it wasn't picking a side left or right, because I'm not a political person at all. I make fun of both sides, honestly, because I don't care.
Yeah.
So until it actually got to the SWAT team scene is when I was like, oh, well, this could be pretty cool and be interesting. I just hope it doesn't go back to that. Like the first part has a big inaugural part of the story overall.
So I'm not going to disagree with you. There's points that I will disagree with you on, but I think those are irrelevant in terms of this comic itself. I also don't prefer politics in my books. I know you and I talked about this a little bit last week because with Cal Exit, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I really like Cal Exit. I don't entirely agree with the politics of the writer, even though he's extremely left-leaning, and I am more left-leaning than right-leaning. But I think the book itself does a really good job at not necessarily pushing politics, unless you read the back matter, because there's a lot of politics in the back matter. The book itself shies away from that. And I will agree with you that with A Walk to Hell, it was a little difficult to get through those first few pages. Because here's the thing, when I read a comic, I like what I'm reading to relate to what I'm seeing on the panel. And it did relate to that initial opening of the book, right? Because you have a mass shooting. Mall or an airport? I think it was a mall.
It was in the mall.
So there's a mass shooting. And so, of course, that kicks off all these tweets about the shooting. But ultimately, those things, I didn't feel related necessarily to the story, right? Because the shootout scene brought the tweets, which was a setup to learn about these agents, which was a setup to learn about the other agents that disappeared in the warehouse, which was a setup so they could find so they could talk about the guy because he was a witness in one of their cases. And, you know, that kind of helped determine what the relationship is between all the agents and set up what this world is about. But the problem is we don't get to the warehouse to like, what, like 2 or 3 pages before the end of the book.
Right.
And so all the setup that we got throughout established the world, but it didn't, to me at least, establish the story. Because really the story, you're right, the story doesn't start until they get to the warehouse.
Yeah. And
yeah, can I, let me just say, I absolutely agree that I think the crucial part, whether you object or not to the politics or any of the, you know, that, I think is the question of how does this relate? And if it doesn't really connect to the warehouse, you know, let's say 10 of the first, 10 pages of the first issue, like aren't really serving the story.
Right.
So my hope is that it does have relevance, and kind of to that point, I'm wondering if like the first episode, all of that in the mall kind of is an initial kind of impressionistic teaser towards the idea of that in hell, you relive your worst moment. Cause they make kind of reference to that. This guy's going to relive this moment over and over, and other people that they reference are also going to relive different moments. So I wonder if that has something to do, you know, like that conception of hell with what is the overall story. And then when you kind of bleed that over into what's all this Twitter stuff about, I wonder if that's almost a commentary, for instance, that Twitter or our larger political scene right now is hell. You know, if that's the message that's on the surface is we're in hell and it's Twitter trolls. Like that to me, if that's where they're going with it, would be a worthwhile use of that. So the question is, what are they going to do with it?
So I think that's a good point though, Travis. And I do see that, but the difference is the three of us, and I hope a lot of people listening, when we read these books, we do try to connect the dots and analyze things. And from what we know about this book, we can assume that you are correct, right? That these people are reliving their hells. Like, you know, when we open up, you have one of the agents, she's having nightmares on her bed, right? She's like, no, don't. And she's like squirming in her bed. And it's obviously something traumatic that she's reliving.
I think it's a rape.
It could be a rape.
She mentions a rape later in the issue.
Yeah. But to go back to the point that Ronnie was making and the point that I made is that I think for the typical reader of a comic, they're probably not going to get all of that. And so as a result, really, the comic doesn't start until page 20 instead of page 1. And I think that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people who may already feel like they're spending a lot on a comic to get that deep into the story before they start learning what this book is about.
Yeah. To me, like another example would be like my sister can't come to supper, but my dad starts to tell me that, but he talks about what she's doing at 1 o'clock until she called him to let him know that she wasn't coming to supper. So like, I don't need to know that. I just need to know that she's not coming to supper. You know, I don't need to know that she went to the Walmart or to the grocery store or whatever, you know? So it was just a roundabout way. Cause honestly, until Travis just said that, like, I didn't even know what the narrative was.
Okay.
So, but now that he brings that up and everybody has their own hell and this isn't his actual one, there's actually going to be a better one than this one and blah, 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 blah. The only part that really doesn't make sense is the tweets, right?
Yeah. At least in terms of this issue, right? Maybe once we read the next one, we'll get some more tying into that. But you're right. And I got to tell you, this is not what I was expecting out of this.
Seems like a theme for us.
Yeah.
Like with new number ones.
Yeah. With
you know what I'm saying? Like we didn't think, I don't remember what the last one was, but like Baby Teeth, we didn't expect it to be like what it was or whatever.
Right.
Or animosity for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I figured there would be politics and just general weirdness based on the fact that Garth Ennis is writing it. Because that's kind of what I've wanted to see from him, right? Because he did Dreaming Eagles, which I didn't follow his war stuff, so I didn't expect it. And I'm glad I read it, but I didn't expect it. We've got Jimmy's Bastard, which is not something that I generally see him writing. So,
sure it is.
Well, I mean, yeah, in some respects.
I mean, it's like The Boys, right?
It's like The Boys, but I'm more of like a Preacher kind of guy. And when this was announced, I was like, okay, this is going to be like a modernized Preacher type book, right?
Okay.
You're going to have the deep religious connotations, extreme violence, like just weird, crazy characters put in crazy situations, but with a twist, because, you know, this was pitched kind of like an X-Files.
Right.
And I can totally see that based on the way the book ended, but not until I got to that point.
To the extent of, you know, is it going to be that type of story? You know, I'm interested that they kind of, the SWAT team references that somebody is coming, and whoever or whatever it is worse than hell, you know, because they're like basically coming to terms with that they're going to go to hell for killing themselves. And they say, well, it's better than what's coming, you know?
Right.
So hopefully that's going to deliver whatever that turns out to be.
Do we know how long this series is?
No.
Okay.
Not the...
Because the reason I ask is, I was, like I said, I was surprised that Jimmy's Bastards was 9 issues. I figured it'd be the standard 5 or 6. And I feel like this might be one of those things where the story might end up paying off more the longer this book runs.
Yeah. I can see that.
I just don't want it to be something that gets dragged on, because I want whatever gets mentioned in the book to actually mean something going forward. Just based on what I know about the way that Garth Ennis does his books. Like, he doesn't just put stuff in a book for no reason. And so,
right.
As a result, I'm sure there's a reason why. For the first issue, I didn't know why. Although I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it the further along I got, because the further along you get, I think the creepier the book gets. And I think in particular, because of the way the book was set up, once you get to the warehouse and you learn how freaked out the cops are, like, they won't even tell them that they already sent the SWAT team in there.
Right.
And the SWAT team obviously all killing themselves. There's some crazy stuff happening in that warehouse. But, like, what is it?
Yeah, like, those are the badass of the badass, and they already want redeployed somewhere else.
Right, yep.
Yeah, I get it. And it's also marketed as Garth Ennis's new ongoing, so I don't know what that means.
What does an ongoing mean anymore, dude? You know?
No, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I was just saying what I knew.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, and I like that, because that leaves it open, right? So if he decides that he can tell this in 6, he'll do it in 6. If it's 12, he'll do it in 12. And if Aftershock is willing to let him take as long as it takes to tell the story, then I think this book will be all the better.
Yeah. And honestly, like, if number 2 is like this one, I might be out until the trade comes out.
Wow.
And I've never said that before.
I mean, if they kind of give you like more of an indication about where it's going, like an actual monster pops up, would that change your kind of feeling? You know, is that part of the problem? Is you don't really know what to expect?
No, like, if the monster, or if we get right into the nitty gritty now that we had the setup issue out of the way, and we get into it in 2 and mix the politics stuff in there, okay. But if we get the slow build again in 2, and then a monster pops up in the last 2 pages, then it'll be like second verse, same as the first type thing for me.
Man, you're a rhyming fool today.
Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I mean, I don't feel that way. I don't feel like if I get more of this, I'm going to wait for the trade. I'm in for the slow burn. But I do agree, as long as whatever bits and pieces we get are interconnected and directly relate to what's happening, then I won't have a problem with it.
I just don't want 9 issues, 12 issues where the main meaty part of the story is basically the backup story.
Sure, right.
Man, I feel like Aaron.
Not quite. He hates everything.
Okay, cool.
You just mildly disliked it.
Yeah. So, Travis, do you got anything else to say about this?
I feel pretty good, actually.
Cool. Let's rate it up. Travis, you can go first on this.
I'm going to go 4 out of 5. You know, they definitely have my interest. But, you know, I think we're all on the same page as far as that, you know, the stuff at the beginning of the issue hopefully will pay off, you know, and if it doesn't, then you may have to reevaluate later.
Ronnie?
Send hate mail to who's Paul? for this one, just because I'm in it because it's Garth Ennis, but this issue itself, I think it's a 2.75 for me.
Wow.
And that's probably all art.
Okay. I mean, fair enough. You don't need to like everything. I'm going to go somewhere in the middle. I want to do a 4 because, I mean, I really liked it. And Ronnie, you're right. The art is freaking impeccable. But, you know, I did have those issues. So I'm going to go in the middle. I'll do a 3.5 out of 5. But I have a feeling that my rating for issue 2 will be much higher.
Well, it can only go up from here.
Let's hope so. Well, or down if you're walking into hell.
Oh.
Oh.
Maybe see what you did there.
Maybe it'd be like her Infernal Descent, where she climbs up the attic, but she's climbing.
Don't compare this book to Infernal Descent.
Oh, Ronnie. You're the best.
Or the worst, however you want to look at it.
However you want to look at it. All right, I think that's
good. Let's get these books to cross over with some of the other books, man. Like, we already know that Black Eyed Kids and Baby Teeth cross over. So that's a crossover that's, like, made to order. Her Infernal Descent and Walk Through Hell. Let's do it. Come on.
Or maybe The Cult is the Way in Cold War.
Oh, there you go.
Or maybe there's Black Eyed Kids that show up in the Warehouse 13.
Now you're cooking.
I just made it that more interesting.
Dude, I love that show. Warehouse 13, I mean.
Yep, yep.
All right, since you guys already mentioned it, next week we have Her Infernal Descent number 2. Yes.
Yes, yes.
I love that book. And Brothers Dracul number 2 will cool. be at as well.
So deuces will be wild.
Oh, Ronnie, never change. If you want to get in touch with us, Ronnie is at Rumbar316. Travis is at The Great Magnet. I'm at Geekvine. The show is at Aftershock Pod.